Mr. Tolbert?
I wanted to make sure you were going to call me this time, so I didn't want to hurry down here. Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is an item, just to give you a little brief bit of background. Since January of 11 until the current time, you've appropriated approximately $800,000 to the Charlottesville Redevelopment Housing Authority for redevelopment purposes. Of that, you took $150,000 and allocated it for the strategic investment area study. That leaves $650,000. As you know, we're not where we thought when we allocated that we would be with redevelopment. We're moving towards it slowly, and the Housing Authority is, but we're not there yet. And so rather than have that money, all that money just sit and be unused to the first of the fiscal year, we have a couple of what we think are legitimate needs that further the purposes of the housing policy. And so we'd like to ask you to do a couple of things with that $650,000. The first is $250,000 of that we would not technically do anything with, that would remain under the purview of the Housing Authority. Right now, that money is restricted for nothing but engineering and architectural services for redevelopment. When we came to you and asked for that, we thought that the first thing we were going to do was run out and hire architects, engineers to do Crescent Halls and the Levy Lot. And we've realized that taking that on and doing it in that manner is not the best way to proceed. And so rather than rush into that, which we've not done, what we'd like to do is say, we'd like to ask you to repurpose that money to allow the Housing Authority and the Development Corporation, when it's up and running, to use that money as they see fit for redevelopment purposes. That may be to get them some more professional guidance. It may be to do some architectural engineering work. But whatever they see fit as part of redevelopment, rather than have it strictly restricted to engineering and architectural services when we're not necessarily ready for them, we'd like to ask you in this resolution that's attached, that's one thing that would do. The second is that we've got two areas that we'd like to ask you to take the remaining $400,000 and reallocate that money, $100,000 to AHIP for emergency repair. The reports that you've heard the last couple of meetings from AHIP, they've talked about many of the things they're doing. One of the biggest needs, and I think one of the best things we've done lately, is create the Emergency Repair Fund. It's the small repairs under $10,000. Most of them are significantly smaller than that, but it's like putting a ramp in to a recently disabled person's or a disabled person's home. It's like putting a roof repair when the roof is leaking, or if there's a failure of an HVAC system, to be able to help with something like that. Those are AHIP does a great job in partnering and trying to reduce the cost as much as they can, but they really fill a niche, and every time they've gone through all the money that we had allocated, and so if we don't do something now, we basically have the rest of the winter and spring that they would not have any money to do emergency repair. So we'd like to take $100,000 of that money and use it for that. Then we'd like to take $300,000 and allocate it towards to Habitat, towards the Belmont Cottages project. Just a little more background, when we got into the project that became the Region 10 Habitat partnership for the properties on Nunley Street, one of the things we talked about then was when we sold those Nunley Street townhouses would be to take that money and allocate it for this project. And that would require coming to you, but we talked about that in the meeting where it was discussed. And that's kind of the conversation we had with Habitat that got them to take on this project and do it on Nunley Street because they didn't make any money out of it. They basically did it for us. Well, those houses are the two townhouses are for sale. We are actually negotiating and the person handling it may have a contract on one. If you remember, we ended up giving those two properties to the land trust, and they are working through it. It may be their first land trust sale if they get everything worked out. But because we're not ready with that yet, and because this Belmont Cottages project is ready to go, we'd like to take that $300,000 and reallocate it to Habitat as part of the Belmont Cottages project. Belmont Cottages project is 15 homes. Eight would be affordable, and 7 would be market rate homes. They're on the middle range of market rate. They're not the highest end, but they're designed for somebody that in these price ranges basically would be less than 120% of AMI, although they're not held to that. But that's where they're going to they will try to work with their partner that actually would build those to be. That project is roughly $3.25 million project when it's said and done. So looking at our desire to leverage those funds at 9-to-1, we would be exceeding that 9-to-1 ratio. So we feel like it meets the policies that we've adopted. It is furthering home ownership, and that is the number one priority that council has adopted on recommendation of the HAC. And so it does that. The $100,000 to AHIP is also meeting your adopted policies for furthering preserving home ownership and by doing rehab, enabling people to stay in their houses. A couple of questions just to address real quickly that I've been asked in the last few days, if I could. One was about the involvement of the HAC in this decision process. And some of you were here when we set it up, but we've been very careful that we don't take funding decisions to the Housing Advisory Committee. And the reason for that is because the Housing Advisory Committee, other than a few members, is mainly made up of the people that receive those funds. And so rather than have them making recommendations on how they get funded, which would be a significant conflict of interest, we said let them recommend the policies. Council adopts the policies, and then the funding decisions are left to council to make. And so that's the way we've been handling it. For a couple of years, we did a request for proposals to see how we wanted to spend our money. But then last year, we got together with the HAC, and we recommended to you that we really need to be more strategic, because what happened was we were spending a lot of money for housing on things that weren't housing. And this way, we're trying to focus more on housing. And then when we have a project where we can leverage, we're trying to use the money to leverage those dollars and be more strategic. And it also, I think, gives the opportunity for people to come and talk to us about their ideas without being set on a schedule that says every March, let's say, we're sending out an RFP and they've got to fit their life to that schedule. It gives us a lot of flexibility. And on the service provider end, it's been very well received as being something that works. If you remember, we did it. We were able to work with Java for Timberlake and some others by doing that. So that's what we're doing in the way of public involvement. We're trying to follow our adopted policy that went through a lot of discussion and a lot of process and make sure that we're meeting that. So I'll be happy to answer any questions. But bottom line, we're asking you to do three things. One is to repurpose the money, $250,000 for CRHA, that simply allows them to use it for any redevelopment purpose. The other is to allocate $100,000 to AHIP for emergency repair, and the other is $300,000 to Habitat to help fund the Belmont Cottages project. And then the final piece would say, pending appropriation, subject to appropriation, would be to take out of next year's housing fund for that $400,000 and redirect it back to CRHA. So we're not taking anything away from redevelopment. We're just borrowing it from them for a period of about 6 months so that then we could give it back, if that's what is appropriate at that time. But that would, of course, be subject to appropriation. You can't commit to it now, but you can state your intent to do so, which the resolution does. Happy to answer any questions.
Before I open for questions by other councilors, I want to make a few comments. First of all, I'm pleased that you've seen the light. Instead of spending from an architect $150,000, you're going to give more flexibility. I think that is the right thing to do. I also think that it will be helpful to do emergency repairs as needed. And Habitat will be building some new housing units, for affordable housing units. I think it will be worth good investment in my mind. Other members of the council.
Actually, I have a question. I don't really quite understand how the $300,000 leverages. Could you further explain that?
Right. The Habitat project is roughly $3.25 million.
I get that, yeah.
And so they have raised or are raising 2.9. And so our 300 matches their 2.925 million. So
but
that's
to whom? Who's matching? I mean, who's
their other money comes from private investors. It comes from foundations. And for the 7 market rate lots, those lots will be sold to a builder who will build those homes at a market price. So that will go into funding the overall project. Habitat's investment will be roughly $3.25 million. That's the roads, the utilities, all the site work that has to happen, and the seven affordable units that are being built. Eight affordable units, yes.
So there, that's for the $3.25 million buys them the infrastructure and the eight houses.
Right, gets the eight houses built.
And then has it also provides seven lots. For $3.25 million, they get eight houses and prepared
seven
lots
other building
that
lots.
Have
yes, ma'am.
Infrastructure.
Right.
But the leverage is, are you saying they already know that they need matches or that they can just hold it up and say, we have $300,000?
No, they have been putting it together and they have a gap. Mm-hmm. They've been looking for financing. They've been looking for assistance. They've got some, there's a special kind of tax credit that they've been able to get on the land sales. And so they've been able to cobble together the rest of the money. But they're not breaking ground until they get another $300,000.
So we're just donating $300,000 to
right,
this.
Right, which is what we've done on several occasions to help spur these projects along.
Right. And I appreciate you. I was clearly had a lot of questions about this before the meeting. Is there a reason that you came up with $300,000 of the $400,000 as opposed to $200,000 each? And before you answer that, actually, because that's probably a rhetorical question, and I have some problems. I love Habitat. I think what Habitat does is amazing, and they do it without regard to boundaries, without regard to whether it's city or county or another county, and that's what they do. That's what they should do. But this is city taxpayer money, and my concern all along has been, if we're going to give city taxpayer money to Habitat, we should know that it is benefiting city residents. And this is $40,000 per household. If it's eight affordable units, not quite 40, 38 something, that we're basically giving as what you might frame as a down payment to families that are not necessarily city families. And we have an enormous need in our city. AHIP has told us, last meeting, whenever it was, that there's 157 people, households in the city on their list, and that's just who has applied for their money. 101 of children in those homes. This is substandard housing. We have a real problem in our city with housing and with the health of our citizens already, and so I just have a problem with taking $300,000 of our housing funds and not putting it toward the much bigger problem we have within our own city with our own city residents.
But keep in mind that we did set aside money last meeting for the.
I know we did, and it went toward a part of the effort to try to crack this big health thing. And this speaks to, the data that, Dave acknowledged a really good report, and Dr. Peek from the health department gave us even more information about a really serious health issue with children, and that's lead. And 22903, that's the city, has been recognized statewide as one of the highest risks for lead for children because of the age of our housing stock and the substandard quality of our housing stock. And I just think this is a much bigger problem than building more housing, which I think is important, but whether city dollars should be used for this purpose is a big concern. We have spent, according to what we were just given today, $2.5 million, or almost $2.5 million, given to Habitat over the last 5 years to build more housing of city dollars, and that's not including land that we've given to Habitat. I love Habitat. Habitat's great. This is just a question of whether we should be putting our city taxpayer dollars to use that would benefit our city residents and therefore our schools and therefore the whole domino effect of putting. So I object to this.
I'd like to offer a different perspective on how to look at that, which is that if we're paying for 10% of this project, certainly more than 10% of the people in these houses are going to be city residents. I think that you can frame it in different ways, but regardless of where these folks live now, when they live here, they will be city residents. And I think that if they have children in our local schools, that's a good thing. If they're moving into Charlottesville so that they're not driving back and forth to affordable housing elsewhere, that's a good thing. If they are trying to move into Charlottesville, chances are they work in Charlottesville. And I assume that most of the folks that we're talking about probably do live in Charlottesville because there's been a really strong outreach to neighborhoods in Charlottesville to fill these houses by Habitat. But it's also illegal for them to say only Charlottesville residents.
I'm saying, but that's one of the reasons we should consider whether we should use city dollars for this purpose. That's a very good point about the 10%. But if we're not offering our city residents $40,000 to buy a house within the city, I think we have to ask the question of whether we're being fair to our...
Ms. Smith, after you asked that question this morning, I did some research. We'd actually asked all of our providers to give us residence information last January, and we'd gotten it from Habitat. At that time, of 17 units that had been assisted that were sold, it had been assisted with city dollars, 12 of them were city residents, and 5 were non-city residents.
Where is that?
This Habitat. That's
where?
That's any of their projects that we've...
New houses.
Where we have provided assistance.
Oh, where we have provided assistance.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Sunrise, where we've provided assistance. I don't know, but there's... right now, I think there's 11 occupied, 11 or 12. I don't know, but on 7 of them, but I know... I mean, but those 7 are all... were formerly city residents when they got those properties.
That's good data.
So their numbers with the projects where they're getting city assistance have gone up, and the ones of the 5 that were not city residents, 4 of those were employed in the city at the time they were hired, and 1 was employed at the University Hospital. So that's technically not in the city, but it's essentially in the city. So I think Habitat recognizes, councils raises concern, and while, as Ms. Seiko says, they can't legally do that, they are doing everything they can to market. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the addresses of the first 17, there's quite a few from Mickey Drive. There's quite a few from Friendship Court. And so they're going. They're really aggressively trying to market in those areas to help people get ready for home ownership.
I think previous councils have repeatedly said that, even though we can't legally require it, we have encouraged them. And Mr. Norris has said that. I have said that a number of times, and it has worked.
Right. I do think we need to realize that we could gain, for $300,000, we could gain 8 new affordable houses and lose 20. I mean, at some point, you have to look at the math, and we need to keep our eyes on the fact that we have a lot of affordable housing that's not in government control, and we will lose it if we do not attend to its preservation in some capacity. And that's exactly what AHIP does.
And we've given them $600,000 this year, which is the biggest chunk that we've ever given them in 1 year, too.
They have a certain amount of capacity. I think they are, in my mind, to their capacity. If they can do what they have, I'll be very pleased.
Right. I just think it's too much money.
Other comments?
I do have a few comments. So thank you for explaining a lot of the detail. And I actually would like to know when the CDC and the CRHA have sorted out the future of the CDC, that I would like to see a plan of how that $250,000 will be used. That's where I have some concerns about giving a carte blanche at this point without any definition to the CRHA/CDC, which hasn't even been kind of established yet. And that's not of your doing, Mr. Tolbert. It's just that I'm asking that we get clarification of what this money will be used for as it moves forward, because this is city money. It is taxpayers' money. And I totally support the redevelopment project, and I want to see it move forward, but I do think we need to understand what, you know, what that might mean in terms of getting, because you mentioned it could be possible, possibly getting consultant to assist in how to assemble parcels. Certainly, if it winds up adding staffing and city monies are going to be used for staffing at any level, we need to understand why and where and how. So that is a big question mark and a concern of mine, that we keep track of that and know what happens. When, if you can come back to us with a report on the $250,000, that would be much appreciated. Mm-hmm. And just one minor detail about Habitat. I just feel that, and as was mentioned earlier tonight in our housing section of the comprehensive plan, we are very strong about having a desire for transitional housing. It's not all one kind of housing. We're not all one kind of people. And I do see what Habitat provides. Is that step out of very, very high assisted product going into the workforce. And it's a very important transitional piece. As we keep moving towards building jobs, building income levels, that is going to be very important to make sure we keep that strong. So I appreciate that.
Mr. Lewis?
I think Ms. Smith raised a very good point, and it's come up, as you said, Mr. Hoogers, it's come up frequently about our desire to see city resources assist city families. And I would just once again reiterate, as Ms. Sakas says, we can't legally, we can't mandate it, but I hope Habitat has gotten a very clear message that that's a very firm desire on the part of the city. I am a big fan of Habitat. They've done great work in the city and in the region. It does provide, as Ms. Galvin said, that critical link for working families who want to become homeowners that can't quite make the that leap. And so I will be supporting this project.
Is it a motion?
Sure.
I'll second.
Any further discussion on the motion? Let's vote.
Thank you.
Next agenda item is the stormwater utility.